Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Well, it's my honor and privilege this morning to commend to you the sacred scriptures. The Bible is a fully inspired word of God. It is the infallible revelation of His will, the authoritative revealer of doctrine, and the Bible is the trustworthy record of God's acts in history. So what do you say then? Let us prayerfully and humbly read and study the Bible more. For in it we will find hope for every crisis. But more importantly, we will find our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died to redeem us from sin. Will you please bow your heads with me as we pray? Our Father in heaven, oh, what a blessing we've had this day in worshiping you. And now as we open the sacred scriptures, we invite your Holy Spirit, which is in this place, to continue to attend our time and grant us wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please open with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, that's where we're going today. Our study today is entitled Elijah the Tishbite. And over the next few weeks here, we're going to be considering some lessons from the life of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel does what? As the Lord God of Israel liveth, and before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Amen. And so, if you can imagine in your mind's eye, Elijah, he's called to the prophetic ministry. He lives in a small community of Tishbe in the backcountry of Gilead, in that hill country there. He was raised in the country in a rural setting, and he was raised to worship the true God. His mom and dad named him Elijah. And the name Elijah simply means that God is Jehovah. And when people asked him what his name was, he could say, "My name is Elijah, because my God is Jehovah." And he was raised and lived in a time when King Ahab was king of Israel, the 10 northern tribes there. And God's people have been for many years, for about a century and a half, if you take things back from when King Ahab ruled, back to where Solomon had passed away. And after Solomon, you remember that the kingdom was divided between Jeroboam and Rehoboam. So there were the 10 tribes to the north, the 2 tribes to the south. And by the time you move from king to king to king, in fact, if you go from like 1 Kings chapter 12 and read it all the way to chapter 17, where Elijah shows up, you find out that the kings go in a progression upward or downward. Yeah, downward. And Elijah shows up at the call of God, and he ends up standing before the king. He does not receive an invitation from the king's courtiers. He just passes the guards, passes everybody that's around the king, And he doesn't stop until he is standing before the king. And he tells the king, King, I'm just letting you know right now that even though I am now standing before you, I don't stand before you. I stand before the living God. And I am here to let you know God has told me to tell you that there's not going to be any dew and no rain until I say so. And as soon as Elijah showed up, he was gone. And God told him, you're on the hit list now. I'm going to hide you out in the country by the brook Kerit. And that was the call of Elijah, the setting. You want to see a little bit of the setting? Go to verses 30 and 31 of the previous chapter. So I can stay on the page in my Bible. Go up to verse 30 of chapter 16. It says, and Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And when you looked at that list before him, the previous four or five chapters, the list was pretty bad. But Ahab, what did he do? He did worse. Verse 31 says, and it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife. Who did King Ahab take to wife? Jezebel, the daughter of, check it out, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and they went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And so the king of Israel, the king of God's people, who was supposed to represent the God of the universe before the people, he married someone named Jezebel, who was the daughter of Ethbaal. And when you look up the name Ethbaal, he's king of the Zidonians. You know what his name means? His name means with Baal. So he would say hello to someone, say, hey, my name is Ethbaal. I am with Baal. And not only that, he then named his daughter Jezebel. And Bible scholars, they don't have, I think, a solid definition for what that name means, but many believe that the name Jezebel means that Baal is prince, or Baal is lifted up and exalted. And so the king of the Zidonians, his name is Ethbaal, I am with Baal. He named his daughter Jezebel, which we believe means the prince of Baal. Baal is being exalted and lifted up. And they led out in the worship of Baal an Ashtoreth. At this time, there were 450 prophets of Baal in Israel and 400 prophets of what are called the prophets of the groves that worshiped other gods. And in that setting, God called Elijah. Elijah, I want you to go stand before the king and let him know. Yeah, let him know. You're worshiping Baal. You think Baal's the god? Baal was supposed to be the storm god who provided the rain for all the land. We'll see how much rain he can produce when God steps in. Go tell the king there's not going to be any dew nor rain for these, the Bible says, for these years. And when you go to the book of James, and James, you remember in James chapter 4, James, and we'll cover this in a couple of weeks, but you remember in James chapter 4, it talks about how the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. And then James gave the example. Do you know who the example was? Elijah, the prophet. Elijah, the prophet, prayed that it wouldn't rain. Did you know sometimes the saints of God have to pray to God for God to stop the rain? Lord, remove your blessing. That's what Elijah prays. I don't know if I've ever prayed a prayer like that. Have you? Well, it was a time in Israel where they needed to be in a place where they would recognize who was the true God. So Elijah prayed, Lord, shut up the heavens. And James tells us it didn't rain for how long? 3.5 years. And then Elijah prayed again, and the rain came. So God called Elijah. My God is Jehovah. God called him at a very important time in the history of Israel, who were in rebellion, to prepare the way and to lead them back to true worship, to lead them to revival and reformation. And you know what I believe? I believe that God wants to have Elijahs in the church today. That's what I believe. If you were to count the number of times that the name Elijah is mentioned in the Bible, you know how many times it's there? If you take the Hebrew name Elijah in the Old Testament and then take the name for Elijah in the New Testament, the Greek transliteration of it is Elias. So if you were to count up the number of times that Elijah shows up in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you would find that it shows up 99 times. I have a hunch. I counted it up 3 times this past week, just to double check. And I had a different number each time. So I'm going with the third one. Oh, I hope that's correct. I think my son checked it out online. He said, yeah, Dad, it's 99 times, so I guess that makes it good. 99 times in the Bible, Elijah's mentioned. I think that's probably more than any other prophet that's mentioned in the Bible. And you know, go back to what I said a few minutes. You know what I believe? I believe that God wants us to be Elijahs today. And I want you to know that that's not just an opinion. Let's check out the New Testament. Go to Luke chapter 1 with me. We're going to keep a finger here in 1 Kings 17. Go to Luke chapter 1. You remember in Luke chapter 1, we read the story of the birth of John the Baptist and how an angel showed up to Zacharias the priest. He's in the temple to perform the ceremonies there on behalf of God's people. Luke chapter 1, notice starting with verse 13, an angel shows up to Zacharias and he says, verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Shall call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go forth before him in the spirit and power of who? Elias or Elijah to, notice the reason, to turn the hearts of the fathers to children and the disobedient to the wisdom and of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so the angel came to Zacharias. And Zechariah was an old man here. And Elizabeth, she was old. They were beyond the bearing years, according to the way humanity works and thinks. And the angel told Zechariah, I'm just letting you know, you're going to have a son and you're going to call him John. And he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to prepare the way for people to accept the Messiah. And he's going to be filled with the spirit and power of who? Elijah. So question, in the first century, as Jesus was going to be coming onto the scene, did God have an Elijah message to prepare the way for the first coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Yes. If you go back to Matthew chapter 17, go back several pages in your Bible, Matthew chapter 17. Check out another spot here. In Matthew chapter 17, we read about how Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountainside one afternoon, and he was transfigured right before them. Light shone out of him, light shone all around him, and two people from heaven came down to visit with Jesus. Who were the two? Moses and Elijah. Moses taken to heaven after his death. Elijah taken to heaven. Did Elijah die? No. Elijah was caught up into a heavenly chariot and taken back to heaven. And so these two individuals show up to talk with Jesus, and the whole mountain is lit up with the glory of Christ and with the glory of God. God spoke, and he made the comment how this was his beloved son. I would have liked to. The Bible doesn't give the discussion on what Jesus and Moses and Elijah talked about. I would have liked to have heard what they talked about. You know, I can imagine Moses and Elijah telling Jesus, hey, hang in there. You know, what you are doing. We lived and spoke and led out amongst your people a long time ago so that you would come and redeem us from sin and suffering. I don't know what all they said, but I could imagine. I would have said, hey, I'm in heaven now. Hang in there. Because if this goes sideways, guess what? Yeah, it's no longer going to be heaven in eternity. But this is the deal. Jesus is transfigured in his life. Moses and Elijah show up. And then notice what the Bible says. Verse 7, Matthew 17, verse 7. And Jesus came and touched them. That is Peter, James, and John. Touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias or Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is what? Is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake to them of who? John the Baptist. And so here you have Elijah. He leads out in revival and reformation, leads the people of God back to the true worship of God in an important time in Israel's history. And then as the Messiah comes on the scene, there's another Elijah. It's not Elijah, Elijah, but it's an Elijah message through his prophet John the Baptist, who prepared the way for the Lord. The question now is, are there going to be Elijahs after that? Another text, go to book of Malachi. So we're just going back a few pages in our Bibles. Last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4 is where we're going next. Malachi chapter 4, our key verse is verse number 5, but we're going to get a little context. Notice verse 1, Malachi 4 verse 1 says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. And you go down to verse 5, and it says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Will send you who? Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of fathers to the children, the heart of children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So before the great and dreadful day of God, is God going to send another Elijah message? Yes, and it's going to be so powerful that what is it going to do in the family circle all around the world? It's going to draw families back together again. A message so powerful that will heal the broken home. And that's a powerful message. You and I, we have the privilege, I believe, according to Bible prophecy, we're living in the last portion of Earth's history. We're living in the day before the day of God. And God showed Malachi, Malachi, you write it down, tell the people that at the end of time, just before God sets up his kingdom, there's going to be an Elijah message. It's going to draw the hearts of husbands and wives, parents and children together. Praise God. I want to be a part of that, don't you? I want to be a part of it, don't you? That's better. So the question is this. If you and I are going to be like Elijah in the days in which we live, and we can be, what does that look like? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be covering some highlights from the story of Elijah. I'm just going to call it Lessons from the Life of Elijah and see if we can apply them to our own lives. So let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're just going to, the first point, what does it look like to be an Elijah? The first point that we're going to lift, and it's only one point for today. We'll cover more points later. The first point is simply that when the, follow the thought, when the word of the Lord came to Elijah, what did he do? He obeyed it. That's so for today, what does it mean to be an Elijah at this time? It means that when we hear God's word, when our minds are cognizant of God's will, when we understand what his teachings are, what his commands are, what the principles of his kingdom are about, what the teachings of Jesus mean for us personally, that we consider that, we accept it, we believe it, and then ask for the Holy Spirit to help us to what? Live it and share it. So again, look at verse number 1. 1 Kings 17 verse 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God liveth and before whom I stand." So Elijah is standing before King Ahab, but the first thing that he says is, yeah, I'm standing here, but I don't stand before you. Who do I stand before? Now, I stand before the living God, and the living God has a word for you through me. Notice verse number 2. Verse 2 says, "And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So, what does verse 5 say? So he went and did according to what? The word of the Lord. Notice verse 8. "And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Verse 10. So he what? Arose and went to Zarephath. I'm turning a page in my Bible. Chapter 18, 1 Kings 18, verse number 1. Notice again. It says, "And it came to pass after many days, that the word of the Lord," that what? "The word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year," that is in the third year of the famine, "saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Verse 2, "And Elijah," what did he do? "Went to show himself unto Ahab." I'm turning another page in my Bible. Now we pick up the story when Elijah and the 850 prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves and all the people are up atop Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal, the prophets of the groves, all day long, they build an altar, and all day long, they're calling for fire to come down, and does it come? No. And then Elijah gathers the people around him. He wrestles 12 stones in the place. He puts the wood on the altar, puts the sacrifice on the wood,
puts water on. How many times did he have water poured on? Three times. He gathers the people around him, then he prays. I want you to see the prayer. Verse 36, 1 Kings 18, verse 36 said, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at what? At thy word." So in the middle of Elijah's prayer, as he has gathered all the people together, before the fire falls on the altar and licks up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the water, before all that, in the middle of his prayer, he said, "Lord, let the people know that I've done all these things." All what things? Well, all the things from the time when he showed up before King Ahab and said there's not going to be any dew nor rain, right on through the book Kerith, to the city of Zarephath, and then finding the king, and now on Mount Carmel, he prays, says a 63-word simple prayer that God immediately answered before he said amen. In the middle of that prayer, he said, "Lord, let the people know that I've done all these things, not according to my ideas and thoughts, but according to what? According to your word." And so this is the deal. Elijah was a man. When he understood what God's word said to him, he accepted it, he believed it, and then he did what? He obeyed it and shared it with others. You want to know what it means to be an Elijah of the end of time today? You know what it means? It means to take time in this book that we call God's Word, the Word of the Lord. Take time with it. Did you know that in America, there are lots of Bibles in America? Did you know that? A few years ago, I remember reading a research survey that the Barna Group and the American Bible Society did together. They put a survey together, and they decided they wanted to find out how many Bibles there were in America. And so they sent out thousands of these surveys to different sections of the country. And you know what they found out? People answering? They found out that, according to their records, 88.7 people that returned the survey said they had a Bible in the home. 88.7. They narrowed it down. They just simply said, 9 out of 10 homes in America have a Bible. And then they gave some interesting information. You know what the average number of Bibles in the homes of America? 4.4. Yeah, between 4 and 5. Yeah. How many of you have 4 Bibles in the home? Yeah, I think everybody does. You know, some of us have more than that. I don't know for sure how many Bibles I have in my home, but it's more than 4. Also, with the research, it pointed out that even though there's a lot of Bibles in the homes of America, that those who take time to read it vary. In this report I read, they had a title that was called Bible Users. Do you want to know what a Bible user is? I said, what's their definition of a Bible user? And you know what their definition of a Bible user was? Someone who either reads or listens to the Bible 3 times a year. That's a Bible user. And I thought to myself, I think it's going to take more than that. And so this is the deal. We live in a, you know, our country claims to be a Christian country. I think early on, it was probably closer to that definition than what it is today. I think pop culture is going crazy. I think Christians in this country ought to get back to the Word of God. Because with that, they will find out God's love for them. They will find out God's will. They will find out who Jesus is. They will recommit their lives because he has died on the cross to show us the love of the Father and to redeem us from sin. When we understand what Christ has done for us, what he has done on the cross, his resurrection power, his ascension, his mediation at the right hand of the throne of God that the book of Hebrews talks about, mediating on the behalf of guess who? You and me. Praise God. We ought to be in this book more and more because the Bible, you know what it does? It tells us of God's love and it tells us of his power. Elijah in his day, as soon as he knew what God's word said to him, what did he do? He believed it. The word of the Lord came to him. I want you to go before Ahab. He went. Go to Kirith now. He went. Go to Zarephath now. He went. Go to find King Ahab, who is searching for your life to take you out. And what did he do? He went. And when King Ahab pointed at him and said, "Are you the troubler of Israel?" What did Elijah say? "I'm not the trouble of Israel. You are, in that you have departed from the commandments and the word of God." Oh, we need Elijahs today. You and I have got to get to know this word for ourselves personally. And with that, we will learn more of God's love, more of his power. We will see that Jesus is in every book from beginning to end. And when we read of him in this book, our lives will be changed. In the book of Genesis, you know what Jesus is called in the book of Genesis? He's called Shiloh. In Exodus, he's the I Am. In Numbers, he's the star and scepter. In Deuteronomy, he's the rock. In 1 Samuel, he's the Lord of hosts. In Job, he's the Redeemer. In Psalms, he's the great shepherd. In Proverbs, he's described as the beloved. In Isaiah, he's called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. In the great prophetic book of Daniel, you know where Jesus shows up? In the fiery furnace as the fourth man. The king threw in three, and when he looks, how many is there? Four. And who was the fourth one? Yeah, Jesus, one like the Son of God. In the book of Micah, he's the one whose going forth is from old, from everlasting to everlasting. In Zechariah, he's the branch. In Malachi, he's the messenger of the covenant. In Matthew, he's called Savior. And Mark calls him the Son of Man. Luke calls him the Great Physician. And John calls him the Word made flesh. In the book of Acts, he's the one who will mobilize the church to witness with power through the Spirit of God. And in Philippians, it says that God has highly exalted him and that one day every knee shall what? Bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, he's the one who, you remember in chapter 4, he's the one who descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And what happens? The dead in Christ shall rise. In the book of Jude, he's the one who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And John in the Revelation says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a great voice behind me saying, I am what? Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." John, write what you see and put it in a book and give it to the church. And today we've read from this book a little bit about the life of Elijah.
So I have learned from this book that my only hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on what? Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground. What's all of the ground? Sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. That's what Elijah learned. And he moved his people of his day, and there was revival and reformation. He took God's word seriously. And so must you and I today. So give me the Bible. Give me what? Give me the Bible. Holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Our Father in heaven, Lord, it's been our privilege this day to worship you. And Lord, now we bow our heads, we commit ourselves into your care, asking that you would place within our hearts that desire to live by your word. Lord, help us to daily spend prayerful time there to learn more of your love and the principles of your kingdom and your commands to lead and guide our lives. Lord, help us to believe these things, to live them, and to share them. And we ask this blessing in the worthy and precious name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. And let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.